Welcome to the first issue of the AES Journal for 2016. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. In this double issue, we're publishing 6 research papers and an engineering report. The topics range widely, from the detection of high-frequency harmonics through perception of quality in pop music to audio algorithms for portable devices. In Wesley Bulla's paper, he attempts to tackle the difficult subject of whether listeners can detect harmonics beyond the range of the normal auditory spectrum. He proposes that because harmonics in this range influence the audio waveform, they may alter the perception of timbre. However, in these experiments, he found no evidence that listeners noticed an effect within a brief complex tone. A group of Korean researchers, fronted by Sung Pyo-jung, look into how audio signals can be pitch-shifted when in a low bitrate coded representation, such as MP3. They try modifying the input of the transform that converts the signal back from the frequency domain to the time domain during decoding. Information about the frequency, amplitude, and phase of the signal are extracted, and the frequency is shifted. The results were compared with other possible approaches, and a small subjective test showed that the results had reasonably high quality. Alex Wilson and Bruno Fazienda come next to present a study of the perception of audio quality in productions of popular music. During their investigations, they found that people's familiarity with the stimuli affected their liking for them, but quality was most affected by perceived loudness and dynamic range compression. The sorts of terms used by listeners when describing quality ratings included diverse terms related to timbre, space, defects, and other concepts. Although the perceived quality might have declined over recent years, ratings of liking seemed not to have been affected. In a paper on modeling loudspeaker suspensions, Antonin Novak shows that mechanical models of these can be made more accurate by incorporating fractional derivatives. Models of 4 loudspeakers with different types of suspension, made using this approach, showed very low errors when compared to measured data, and Novak argues that there are compelling reasons for considering fractional derivatives when modeling viscoelastic suspensions. The human perceptual system can adapt its processing properties when exposed to feedback and context, argue Florian Klein and Stefan Werner in the introduction to their study on non-individual cues in binaural reproduction. Listeners were trained with non-individual HRTFs during an audio-visual training task, and 10 out of 13 showed improvements in their ability to localize sources that varied in elevation. The authors argue that such training is therefore capable of significantly reducing localization errors in the median plane. Slavomir Zielinski's paper on biases in listening tests extends his previous work on the topic by looking at selected graphical examples. He comments on systematic errors that affect quality judgments, such as range equalization, stimulus spacing, and nonlinear scales. The results strongly suggest that all assessment methods are inherently relative in nature, rather than being some sort of absolute measure of quality. The value of verbal descriptors is questioned, and Zielinski suggests that researchers should avoid conclusions that associate numerical scores with such descriptors at fixed positions along a scale. In an engineering report, Stephanie Cecchi and her colleagues investigate audio algorithm architecture for stereo portable devices. Specifically, they describe an algorithm that compensates for the poor stereo image achieved from closely spaced loudspeakers. It's based on an improved version of a crosstalk cancellation algorithm used for ambiophonic systems, combined with equalization and a virtual bass algorithm to compensate for the effects of the crosstalk canceller on general sound quality. The results have been implemented on both Android and iOS, and listening tests show positive results. Standards news this month is mainly concerned with networking and file interchange, introducing the AES-70 standard, which describes the open control architecture for networks. There's also a note about XML implementations of audio decision lists for editing systems, and a report on progress with digital microphone interfaces and microphone measurement methods. The main U.S. convention of the Society is coming up in late September in Los Angeles, and this month we publish the call for papers. If you're a researcher working in the field and need your passport to attend the world's biggest audio engineering meeting of the year, now is the time to start thinking about what you can offer for the technical program. In our feature article this month, Francis Rumsey reports on challenges in archiving and restoration. Analog recording media from yesteryear, such as lacquer discs, 78 RPM records, and reel-to-reel tapes, all suffer from different aging processes and fragilities that make it a challenge to deal with them safely and correctly. We want the best chance of extracting the content for posterity with high sonic quality. Workshop presentations during the 139th Convention tackled the handling and restoration of difficult media, including a novel alternative to the baking of decaying analog tapes in order to preserve them. A recent book on recording voiceover by Tom Blakemore is reviewed in this month's book reviews, along with a note on Anna Jaramillo and Chris Steele's new book on architectural acoustics. We also mourn the passing of two notable European audio engineers. Gerald Halley was a kingpin of the Netherlands AES section throughout his career, and a well-known recording engineer, while Mike Skeet is hailed by Hugh Robjohns as having been a notable English eccentric, motorbike enthusiast, recording engineer, and inventor of homemade audio equipment. You'll find all this and more in the January and February edition of the AES Journal, available for download today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.